WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Governor Northam is expected to announce new guidelines today for the state's eventual reopening, even as the spread of COVID-19 in Virginia is not abating, with the largest single-day increase in deaths for the state during the pandemic over the weekend. Meanwhile, Harrisonburg offers free testing at two locations, and friendly city golfers demonstrate in support of continuing city subsidies for the local course. This is the WMRA Daily for Monday, May 4th. Governor Ralph Northam said he will present new guidelines today for the state's eventual reopening. He says progress has been made in boosting testing and obtaining medical supplies amid the coronavirus pandemic. The governor has issued executive orders shutting down activity in the state to try to slow the spread of the coronavirus. That includes an order closing some non-essential businesses through this Friday. That's May 8th. Northam may decide to extend that order. Some Republican lawmakers and others have been pushing Northam, a Democrat, to reopen, as some other southern states have done. And even as some people are clamoring to end the governor's stay-at-home and business closure orders, the spread of COVID-19 in Virginia is not abating. Virginia health officials reported 940 new coronavirus cases on Sunday and another 44 deaths. That's the largest single-day increase in deaths for the state during the pandemic. It brings the total of confirmed cases to nearly 18,000. A total of 660 people in Virginia have died from the virus, according to the Virginia Department of Health. More than half of those deaths have been reported in nursing homes. In Harrisonburg, there are 478 confirmed cases. In Charlottesville, 63 people are confirmed to have the disease. Nearly 2,500 people in Virginia are recovering from COVID-19 after having been discharged from the hospital. Well, that high rate in Harrisonburg has in part led to this. The city, in partnership with the Virginia Department of Health and Sentara RMH, set up two mobile testing sites on Saturday afternoon to offer free COVID-19 tests to residents of the Northeast and Mosby Court neighborhoods, which were selected to increase testing access in diverse areas. WMRE's Randy B. Hagee reports.
On the lawn outside of the Lucy Sims Continuing Education Center on Saturday morning, nurses from RMH swabbed the noses of local residents inside a big inflatable tent. Lindsay Keck, a practice management coordinator at Sentara, stood outside with a clipboard screening the incoming clients.
We have it set up for being able to test two patients at a time, and we have 50 tests that are free. We have some information that they fill out on a sheet so that they can be contacted with the results, and then the test is very similar to a flu test.
There were 50 tests available at each of the two testing locations. Patients were told to expect their test results back within a week. By 11 a.m. in the Northeast neighborhood, they'd gone through
17 total, and I have two interpreters for, I would say, 9 of them.
Joel Luna is a Spanish language interpreter for the city. He said everyone who had come to get tested so far was surprisingly calm.
They're not scared at all, and they seem to be really pleased with the process. I'm glad that we're doing this. Whomever came up with this idea, they hit a home run.
Local resident Julia Bundy hasn't experienced symptoms of the virus and has been following health officials' recommendations, but she came to get tested just to know for sure.
It stings a little bit, but it's well worth it, you know? It's just a quick little sting and it's over. We need to work together, and it's an opportunity to find out what's going on. You think you're doing the right thing, but you don't always know. So yes, this is really good. I'm glad that they came here to do it.
Mayor Dina Reed, who grew up in the Northeast neighborhood, was also there on Saturday.
I'm glad that we were able to bring this to the Northeast. There's some people who may feel uncomfortable about going to the actual hospital, who may not be able to afford to go to the hospital.
She hopes the city will continue setting up free testing clinics going forward.
I'm hoping that this is actually the first round, that we will have another opportunity to bring more testing to Harrison. In order for us to keep the city healthy, we need to know how many true positive cases there are here.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
The Heritage Oaks Golf Course has been a contentious topic among Harrisonburg residents over the last couple of decades. An online petition now has more than 1,000 signatures demanding the city stop subsidizing it. But on Sunday, hundreds of golfers took to the course to show they wanted to stay, WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
The Heritage Oaks Golf Course has operated at a deficit since it was built and has lost more than $500,000 annually. Despite growing disapproval among city residents, about 375 supporters showed up Sunday afternoon to keep it open. Heritage Oaks member Bob Lewis says closing the course would cut off a revenue stream for Harrisonburg's Parks and Recreation Department.
So if you close the golf course, you cut the deficit by 8%, but you lose 62% of the revenue. If anything, they should be begging golfers to come out here and keeping it going. It's the only one that makes money for the city.
The rally was organized in response to a movement calling for city council to stop subsidizing Heritage Oaks. A petition started by former mayor and city councilman Kai Degner has amassed more than 1,000 signatures. The city closed the golf course last month in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, but has kept the walking paths open. Supporters walk the paths in golf attire with clubs in hand and signs on display. City resident Laura Mazzell wants Heritage Oaks to stay open for its multi-purpose use compared to other parks in Harrisonburg.
So why do we need 200 acres of more path? I support the choice for people to do what they want to do.
City Council will hold a work session Tuesday night to discuss the proposed 2021 budget, which includes funding for Heritage Oaks. For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Penn.
A group of senators, including Virginia's Senator Mark Warner, is proposing a paycheck security program. Lawmakers say that could become another option for businesses that have not been able to access other federal assistance. From partner station VPM, Charles Fishburne reports.
Senator Warner says the program would cover the payroll and benefits for each furloughed or laid-off worker up to $90,000 per employee.
I can tell you, in a state like mine in Virginia, there's still folks waiting on getting their checks.
Employers that have seen at least a 20% drop in revenues would be eligible to receive grants that would last at least 6 months. Funds could also be used from the paycheck security proposal to cover a business's rent, utility bills, and insurance. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Time now for the latest installment of our series from Virginia Public Radio, answering listener questions about COVID-19.
This is the COVID-19 Minute, expert answers to your questions. Terry Fisher wonders why some places are checking for fever before allowing employees to enter the workplace. She points out that a person could be asymptomatic or develop a fever later, but still be contagious. True, says Dr. Tyson Bell, medical director of UVA's intensive care unit.
The fever is very common, so over 90% of people with COVID disease will have a fever at some point. That means 1 out of 10 will not. And it's the combination of symptoms that we look at to try to determine if someone has the disease or not.
In checking for possible cases of COVID-19, screeners should also ask if they've been exposed to someone with the virus, if they have a cough or shortness of breath, chills, muscle or headache, sore throat, or recent loss of smell. Less often, the virus can invade the digestive tract, according to Dr. Gonzalo Behrman, an infectious disease specialist at Virginia Commonwealth's Medical Center.
Diarrhea has been reported, but that's not going to be the primary symptom. It predominantly goes to the respiratory system, and then obviously once it gets there, it can get into the blood and go to other organs.
And how often are people contagious but show no symptoms?
That's not well known right now. So if someone is asymptomatic, we suspect that they can transmit the virus to others. The effectiveness of that transmission is much less than someone who is symptomatic. The duration of transmission in an asymptomatic person is just not well known at this time.
But he adds, we're learning more every day. I'm Sandy Hausman with the COVID-19 Minute.
Finally today, did your inspection sticker on your car expire at the end of April? Well, for the most part, you don't have to worry about it. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the good news.
Here's a paradox. That inspection sticker on your car might have expired on the first of the month, or maybe it expired on the first of last month. If that's the case, you are, in fact, breaking the law. State police will overlook it until August, but spokeswoman Corrine Geller wants to make sure you know that you're still required to get your vehicle inspected, and the expiration date on your sticker has not been extended or suspended.
We have worked with our certified inspection stations in Virginia. We've reached out to all of them, and talk to them about how they can still provide a valid inspection of your vehicle, but can do it without getting into your vehicle or requiring you to get out of your vehicle.
Local police departments across Virginia are still enforcing some expired inspection stickers, says Dana Schrod at the Virginia Association of Chiefs of Police.
Local law enforcement has still been doing some inspection enforcement, particularly in those cases that appear egregious, where it's obvious that there are some problems with bad brakes, lights out, that kind of thing.
Governor Ralph Northam has issued an executive order suspending enforcement of inspection stickers, updated expired driver's licenses, and registering new vehicles. That order is effective through July 31st, although it applies only to the state police, not your local police department. I'm Michael Pope.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. Stay safely connected and enjoy your Monday.